Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 15. I'll read John 15 verses 1 through 8. The words of Jesus. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As a young couple, my dad's parents bought a double-wide lot in the little town of Gladstone, Michigan, back in the 1930s. It was Depression era. And through bartering and trading, my grandfather built a two-story wood frame home and then a detached garage. And on the other lot, they opened up a garden. A garden that was almost as big as our community garden. Not quite, but almost. It's a huge garden for a small family. And they worked that garden for about 50 years. At the front of the garden, on the street side, were the flowers. In the summertime, it was a burst of color and bumblebees and aromas. It was zinnias and gladiolas. Gladiolas, they love gladiolas, and snapdragons and daisies, an array of colors. And then in the middle of the garden, it was like an entire grocery store filled with vegetables. Rutabagas, potatoes, black beans, beans that my grandparents' parents had brought with them from Sweden and they replanted. And lettuce and asparagus and tomatoes and beans, and on it went. And then toward the back of the garden, my grandpa would always drop into a whisper as he talked about what was in the back of the garden. It was the fruit, the grapes and the plums. And he would whisper because he knew that the neighborhood kids, if they knew that grapes and plums were there, they would raid the garden at night. So he'd whisper, "Look at how big these plums are." My most enduring memories of my grandparents are related to that garden. Dirt in their hands, straw hats, my grandfather in overalls, my grandmother in a gardening apron, those white enamel pans that were all over the garden for washing vegetables. And always, always, always something directly from the garden onto their table. When I eat asparagus today, I immediately go back to 1420 Dakota to my grandparents' table. For 50 years, they worked that garden. Tilling, weeding, watering, watching, waiting for 50 years and harvesting tons of food and jars and jars and jars of jams and huge bouquets of flowers. One of the things that my dad always teased my grandparents about was my grandfather's steady and stinky practice of using chicken manure all across the garden. He'd mixed in with whatever else, and it was a powerful smell, but it just fueled growth. Chicken manure. When my grandfather died in the 1980s, and my grandmother moved with my parents to Chicago, the property went on the market, and a young family new to the area moved in. They bought it, they moved in, they quickly upgraded the house, and they sodded over the garden because they had little kids. So it turned into this big, rich lawn with swing sets and a whole playground of stuff and big wheels and bikes all over the yard. The garden was gone, and so it goes. Well, about 5 or 6 or 7 years later, that family had to move, and they put the home on the market right as my dad's brother, Eldon, was retiring from ministry. And Eldon and Harriet moved to Gladstone and bought his family home. But they weren't heavy-duty gardeners, so they left the lawn like it was, and they would just mow it. But one summer, they were out of town, got behind in the mowing, and this rich, thick lawn got pretty deep with grass. And when they got back, Eldon went out to mow the lawn, and he noticed right in the middle near the front, up was coming a flower out of all this grass. So gradually opened up part of the garden and brought it back to a garden. Well, a few years later, they sold and they moved to Chicago, and it went on the market again. And another couple moved in, and she is a master gardener. And now she has opened up the entire garden, and it is a magnificent, award-winning garden, tended by a master gardener with now about 85 years of that working the soil. And the productivity out of that garden is amazing. We've stopped by there almost every summer, and we've even transplanted some of my uncle's daisies to our cabin property, Eldon's daisies. The lawn was good, but the garden is great. The lawn was functional, but the garden is exceptional, and the garden is fruitful. I carry this as an image of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness coming from steadily, faithfully working the soil, tilling, weeding, watering, watching, and waiting year after year after year. It requires a lot of all of those. And then layering into the soil those enriching things like chicken manure, which I never got very close to it. I just smelled it from a distance. It's not the most pleasant thing to have embedded in your clothes, but it just fuels growth. And to have that layered into the soil. Obviously, that garden didn't just happen. It didn't just miraculously change overnight from a weedy, hard-packed, empty lot into this lush, fertile garden. My grandparents lovingly worked it year after year after year, season by season. And they also enjoyed the fruit of that labor, and they shared it profusely with people. Of course, they couldn't grow anything any more than any one of us can grow anything. All they could do was to faithfully prepare that soil and plant seed and tend to the weeding and watering and then wait for things to grow. But they couldn't grow anything any more than we can. I love the way the Apostle Paul used a gardening image in 1 Corinthians. Writing about the continual need for spiritual growth and fruitfulness among followers of Jesus in Corinth, Paul wrote, "I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who can make things grow." So here are the questions for us. How's our growth going? What are we hoping will grow in our lives? What are we intending to grow in our life together here in this church? How are we doing with the tilling and the weeding and the watering and the watching and the waiting? We can't on our own make anything grow. Not anything that will honor and please God. We can't on our own make ourselves grow in ways that will bear fruit and be part of the flourishing of His kingdom. On our own we can't. Only God gives the growth. But He has given us what we could call gardening tools. Tools to use, including access to plenty of water, to fresh water, the living water of Jesus, His presence in us, with us. And the invitation to have our lives layered with a type of fertilizer, something that propels growth, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here are a few of the things he's given us to prepare and work the soil of our lives for Jesus to move, for the Holy Spirit to cause growth. He has given us the amazing gift of hearts and minds and wills and a wonderful freedom to choose how to use the 24 hours we are given each day. This wonderful gift to choose how we use the hours of this day with our heart, mind, and wills. Where to place our focus day by day. Choices that cumulatively shape the whole direction of our lives. We're given each day as a gift to be used. He's also given us this amazing gift of His Word, which, as we know through Hebrews, is described as being living and active. As Paul wrote to Timothy, these words, they are God-breathed. The very breath of God is in them. And as we heard in the call to worship this morning from Jeremiah 17, which is very much like Psalm 1, people who weave God's Word into daily life, they are like trees planted by streams of water, and fruit grows. They flourish, and their leaves don't wither. He's given us the freedom to choose how we use our days, and He's given us His Word. He's also given us this mysterious and wonderful gift called prayer. The invitation to talk with Him, to cry, to laugh, to shout, to sing. To offer over to Him things that delight us and things that crush us. As we're learning more and more about in the adult Sunday school class, prayer is also means by through which we can just be silent and to listen. Not just our own words, but to wait on His Word. He's given us the invitation to pray, not just as a quick ritual, but a way to move deeper with Him. And He's given us the gift of this body, the church, the body of Christ, and the gift of being in worship like this today, and the gift of the sacraments like baptism and like the Lord's Supper that we'll celebrate today, where we are ushered into the very presence of God with humility and boldness and grace combined. And where we are invited to have our lives weeded, to have things uprooted that need to get pulled out, to have new seed planted and to be nourished by the living water and by this fertilizing presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean here today just to be going through a list of things, but I believe that the most important reason why any of us are here today is to take Jesus at His Word and to go deeper together with Him. And these are tools He gives, openings that He provides. When He said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit because apart from me, you can do nothing." The things I've mentioned here today are what He gives us to be able to do this, to be part of this, to remain in Him, not by our effort, but by access, by the openings He gives. These are things that shape our lives day by day by day and cumulatively direct the entire direction of our lives. Our wills, our time, being nourished by God's Word, opening our lives to new depths of prayer, giving priority time to worship and being in the body of Christ, and receiving this invitation to be part of, to receive the sacraments. These are ways that open up fruitfulness in us. It's not a comprehensive list, but it's an essential one. One last thing. All of this is within reach for every one of us. Children, adults, people who've been walking with Jesus for decades, and those who are just beginning to take baby steps is wide open for every one of us. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not just measured by numbers. It's measured by depth and by heart. It's measured by the fruit of the Spirit growing in us. Things that begin way on the inside and then spill over on the outside. Here's how Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. His fruit that grows in us. When this fruit is growing, it shows. And it's to be shared, to be given away like produce from a garden. So as we respond today to God's invitation to receive the sacrament, the bread and the cup, and to receive anointing with oil for healing, I want to encourage you to do one simple thing. Whether you come forward to receive or remain in the pew, or whether today is not the day to receive the sacrament, wherever you are in this, to do one simple thing. Simply invite him to treat you like an opened up garden. To pull out weeds, sins. To plant new seed, a new word from him to you in your life. To mix in the fertilizing power of the Holy Spirit that propels growth. To soak you deeply down to your roots with the living water of Jesus Christ. And then to help you share this fruit freely and abundantly with others. So may we be fruitful, fruit-bearing, fruit-abundant people. May we be people who freely, more than ever, let people know what God, through Jesus Christ, is doing in our lives. And may we be like a community garden right here, like the one we have out there, but here in our lives, with God growing new, prolific fruit in us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the growth that you bring. Thank you for what you are actively growing in this body called Bloomington Covenant Church, for the fruit of the Spirit that is more and more evident and is being shared. And I pray now for all of us that you would propel growth, that your Holy Spirit would be like that fertilizer mixed in, that we would be washed and watered with your living presence. Prepare us now as we come to the table. Sharpen our hearts and our minds, for you alone can give. Help us to come humbly, yet boldly, to your throne of grace. We pray this all in your name. Amen.